Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm Jim Blasingame. You're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. Kenneth C. Davis is with us, folks. He says we can call him Ken. He's a best-selling author of an outstanding book, America's Hidden History. He's also the author of the Don't Know Much About System, or series, I should say, of books, Don't Know Much About History, Mythology, etc. I'm holding his new book, A Nation Rising. He's a great historian, and I'm proud to say he's a very outstanding member of our Brain Trust. Ken Davis, welcome back to the show.
It is always a great pleasure to be with you, sir. Good morning.
Good to have you back. Hi, Ken. Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween to you. We're all ready for some treats here in New York. We've cleared out the snow, so tonight in Greenwich Village there'll probably be a million people wandering around in various states of dress and undress.
And how does that, in the village, how is that different from July the 1st or March 3rd or whatever?
it's Mardi Gras and Thanksgiving Day and the New Year's Eve in Times Square all rolled into one.
Yeah.
Quite an incredible festival, and people spend a lot of time and imagination getting ready for the Greenwich Village Halloween Parade, which started many, many years ago as just something for kids walking around the neighborhood, and now it's grown into an extraordinary extravaganza. It's like Carnival in
right,
you know,
right.
In
well,
Rio.
I'm sorry, I'm going to miss that. So, what's tell us about the origins of Halloween.
It's a fascinating story, Jim, and we've, you know, talked about how Christianity took earlier traditions and turned them into different holidays throughout the calendar, and this
right.
is one more example of that. There were the people of ancient British Isles and Ireland, the Celtic people,
mm-hmm.
They had their Druid priests, and they saw this night, this particular night, and fell around this time as the night on which the veil between the world of the living and the dead fell away. And why is that? Because it was the dying time. You know, we can see it here in the Northeast where I am today. The leaves are gone. The nights get much longer
mm-hmm.
and colder. The animals have been slaughtered and brought in. The last crops have been gathered. So they saw this as not just a harvest time, but the end of something, a time
mm-hmm.
of death. And that also meant it was a new year. So they had a festival they called End of Summer. The word in Celtic was Samhain. And they would celebrate it by lighting a great bonfire because the darkness was coming. You want to keep away the darkness.
Right.
Keep away the dead spirits. And they would send the kids around from door to door to collect the wood for that bonfire.
Ah.
That sounds interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd also want to frighten away those dead spirits. So you might put on animal antlers or the animal skin and pull it around you to look like a frightening animal to scare away the dead spirits. And then after the whole thing was over, each family would take some of the embers from the dying bonfire, the sacred light to keep away the darkness, and they would light their own hearth fires for the new year. But they'd carry those embers home in a carved-out turnip. You get in the picture here,
yeah.
door-to-door, dressing up, carrying vegetables with candles
right.
inside. All starts a couple thousand years ago in an Irish bonfire.
And then throw Madison Avenue into that, and you got modern Halloween, right?
Madison Avenue, a little Hollywood, and off we are to the races, which is now, of course, one of the largest commercial holidays in America.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's second only to Christmas now in terms of economic impact.
Retail
spending.
It's quite
extraordinary. When I think back to being a kid, we had a Halloween party at our church. That's one big difference. And that was the big thing. You put on your Roy Rogers
mm-hmm.
cowboy hat, and you had
yep.
a paper bag, and you got a few candy thrown in it. Now it's, of course, this incredible event that is promoted.
I understand, Ken, why the fall, but what's the connection to October 31st?
Well, this is when it used to fall around this time on the Irish calendar, and when Christianity came to those islands, they said, no, we don't celebrate the dead walking anymore. We don't believe that. But we'll take this festival and turn it into a holiday that has Christian meaning. And so they called it All Souls Day, mm-hmm. and that was November 1st. They said that that's approximately the Celtic festival would have been related more to the moon and the lunar calendar, but this was set on November 1st. Now, in England and Ireland, it was known as All Hallows Day,
right.
and the night before was All Hallows Evening, mm-hmm. and that ultimately gets shortened to Halloween.
Halloween.
And during medieval times, this ancient practice of going door to door and dressing up stayed alive on All Saints Day and the day before. They called it guising, particularly in Scotland, and mm-hmm. you would go from door to door to collect what we'll call soul cakes. You weren't looking for wood anymore, but you would go for a soul cake. You would say a prayer for the departed souls of whoever was at the door, and they would give you a soul cake. And that's where the real trick-or-treating part comes mm-hmm. from, because woe mm-hmm. to you if you didn't have a soul cake to give to somebody who said a prayer for your dear departed.
Ah. Well, you know, and of course, I grew up with Halloween. You did too, Ken. We went trick-or-treating. And in the neighborhood I grew up in when I was a little kid, you know, I carried a pillowcase. I mean, that's how much candy we were able to get. We didn't take a little paper set. We took a pillowcase and filled the darn thing up.
Absolutely.
And it was fun. And it never had any influence on my religious faith. It was never even a connection. There was never anything. It didn't change my behavior. So it does trouble me. I have to be honest. It troubles me when I see adults trying to make Halloween into something ugly. What do you think?
Well, it certainly that you can apply that to many things that
right.
A lot of people take offense from these days, and you know, everything from Harry Potter on down to Halloween. It's people have strong beliefs, and part of it is the misconceptions that have grown up, partly because of what we said, because Halloween did become marketed
right.
and Hollywood connected what was a dress up night. And certainly ghosts and goblins and the living dead do go back to the beginnings of this, but it didn't have its sinister quality, and that grew over time. There's no question
right.
about it.
But it's
there
just,
really is. But
it's
there's
just
nothing satanic
fun for the kids
or
only
evil.
Exactly. Only an adult could turn something the kids have fun about into something ugly. So, folks, let your kids enjoy Halloween and go trick-or-treat. Let them put on witch and goblin outfits and just have some fun. 20 after, right back with Ken Davis. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.